What an awesome time. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for braving the storm. I just felt like God was, I'm kind of messed up from that worship. How many could just get the team back up here? Let's just go for a couple more. Woo! Come on. Good stuff. I feel like the Lord said to us on this Good Friday, somebody hear me here tonight. God has not forsaken you.
Come on.
Amen.
God has not forsaken you. You hear me? God has not forsaken you. And with the tornado activity, I thought, you know, it seems like Jesus was in a storm one time. Anybody ring a bell, recollect? If I remember correctly, he was in a boat on a big body of water. And the waves were swarming and swamping and they were, you know, it wasn't good. But for Jesus, what was he doing?
Sleeping.
He was taking a good afternoon nap. He was having him a good siesta. It was, he wasn't worried about it. And everybody else in that boat seemed to have a problem. Jesus, what in the world? And he said, don't worry about this, guys. My words. Bollinger translation. I got this. Peace under the storm. It's almost like he was saying, listen, guys, the storms of life might harass you. They might hem you in, but I have not forsaken you. God has not forsaken you. You may feel forsaken. You may feel broken. You may feel abandoned. But in his humanity, as a son of David, so did Jesus. Let's read Mark 15, starting in verse 16. How many people are thankful for the word of God, for the scriptures? We're going to read some tonight and just glean from this. Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal your heart in this word here this evening.
Amen.
Amen. So the soldiers took Jesus into the headquarters of the governor's compound and summoned a military unit of nearly 600 men. They placed a purple robe on him to make fun of him. Then they braided a victor's crown, a wreath made of thorns, and set it on his head. And with a mock salute, they repeatedly cried out, "Hail, your majesty, king of the Jews." They kept on spitting in his face and hit him repeatedly on his head with a reed staff, driving the crown of thorns deep into his brow. Then they knelt down before him in mockery, pretending to pay him homage. When they finished ridiculing him, they took off the purple robe. They put on his clothes. They put his clothes back on him, and they led him away to be crucified. Let me just pause right here and ask you a question. Have you ever felt made fun of, mocked, or ridiculed by life? Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like life was just laughing at you? Like, ha, where is your God now? What is this about now? What are you going to do now? I know I sure have. Three instances stand out to me. At age 19, number one, I was after freshman year of college, I was on my way to the mental institution with early stages of schizophrenia. Life was mocking me. It was very, very difficult. I felt forsaken, abandoned in a sense, spiritually. Then at age 23, I had an early marriage that catastrophically failed. Again, I'm a believer at that point. First time I wasn't a believer yet. I'm a believer at that point. And at a young age, this thing happens to me as it has to so many. And life just seemed to laugh at me again. It seemed to mock me. It seemed to kneel down before me and say, "What's up with you now? Where is that thing within you?" Number three, in 2009, my best friend was murdered in his own home. Whole community of our church, we don't know what to do. We're at complete loss. What do you do now? Where do you go in those places when life seems to laugh? When you've seen all the glory of God and what He can do, and you've seen the worst of pain and suffering? Life was laughing at me in the first instance, mocking my sanity. The second one, destroying my marriage covenant. And the third one, violently stealing even a life. In the passage in Mark, the mockery continues. As they came out of the city, they stopped an African man named Simon, a native of Libya. He was passing by, just coming in from the countryside with his two sons, Alexander and Rufus, and the soldiers forced him to carry the heavy crossbeam for Jesus. They brought Jesus to the execution site called Golgotha, which means Skull Hill. There they offered him a mild painkiller, a drink of wine mixed with gall, but he refused to drink it. They nailed his hands and feet to the cross. The soldiers divided his clothing among themselves by rolling dice to see who would win them. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they finally crucified him. Above his head, they placed a sign with the inscription of the charge against him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." Two criminals were also crucified with Jesus, one on each side of him. This fulfilled the scripture that says he was considered to be a criminal. Those who passed by shook their heads and spitefully ridiculed him, saying, "Aha! You boasted that you could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Why don't you save yourself now? Just come down from the cross." Even the ruling priests and the religious scholars, they joined in the mockery and kept laughing among themselves, saying, "Oh, he saved himself. He saved others, but he can't even save himself. Israel's king, is he? Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, pull out the nails and come down from the cross right now. We'll believe it when we see it." Who's ever said that before? "You know what, God, I've heard the stories, but you know what? Honestly, I'll believe it when I see it." Be careful what you ask for. So even when the two criminals were crucified with Jesus, began to taunt him, hurling insults on him. For 3 hours, beginning at noon, darkness came over the earth. About 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a mighty voice in Aramaic, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you turned your back on me?" Or, "Why have you forsaken me?" Some who were standing near the cross misunderstood and said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." One bystander ran and got a sponge, soaked it with sour wine, then put it on a stick and held it up for Jesus to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to rescue him." Just then, Jesus passionately cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. We know in the other record, it is finished, right? He breathed his last. He cried out. At that moment, the veil in the Holy of Holies was torn in two from the top to the bottom. When the Roman military officer who was standing in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "There's no doubt this man was the Son of God. There's absolutely now no doubt." You see, Jesus, who is fully God, yet fully man, was revealing his true humanity here, feeling completely forsaken, completely abandoned. He had always referred to God as Father, but for the first time in biblical record, he refers to him, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, Jesus, listen now, Jesus was taking on him not just all of sin, but trauma. He took all of trauma upon himself. Right. You see, in these instances in my life, I've seen my friends. How do you walk through the trauma? How do you deal with the pain? You go to the cross. Amen. You recognize that on that Good Friday, that trauma was nailed on that cross with Jesus. You recognize that just like those disciples in the boat with no clear answer on how to stop the storm, they recognize that the answer was a person that was there with them. He took all this. There's a way. He was also prophetically proclaiming as a son of David, Psalm 22. Get this. It's written over 600 years before the crucifixion. Psalm 22. But to my understanding, back in this era, the Psalms were not numbered. So how would they know what the Psalm was by the first line of the Psalm? Sometimes I wonder, because we know that Psalm 22, a Psalm of David, was set to a melody, set to a tune, right, musicians? I wonder, did Jesus cry it out? Did he sing it out? Did he shout it out? Did he just stop with the first line? I don't know. I don't have any proof to say he didn't just stop with the first line. But I can't assume either that he didn't stop with the first line. Or perhaps, this is where I want to go with this, perhaps all of the good Jewish people there, they had memorized Psalm 22 by heart. So what Jesus is crying out is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, but also, that's not the end of the story. There's something else coming in Psalm 22. Do you want to know what it is? Verse 1. First the lament, then we'll get to the shift. My God, why would you abandon me now? Why have you forsaken me? It's the exact same words there. It's the title of the psalm, right? Why do you remain distant, refusing to answer my tearful cries in the day and my desperate cries for your help in the night? I can't stop sobbing. Why are you, my God? Yet I know that you are most holy. It's indisputable. You are God enthroned, surrounded with songs, living among the shouts of praise of your princely people. Our father's faith was in you. Through the generations, they trusted and believed in you, and you came through. Every time they cried out to you in their despair, you were faithful to deliver them. You didn't disappoint them. Come on, that's a testimony. But look at me now. Maybe you felt like this. Look at me now. I'm like a woeful worm, crushed, and I'm bleeding crimson. 600 years before the crucifixion, this was recorded. This was written by David. I don't even look like a man anymore. I've been abused, despised, scorned by everyone, mocked by their jeers, despised with their sneers, as all the people poked fun at me, spitting their insults, saying, "Is this the one who trusted in God? Is this the one who claims God is pleased with him? Now let's see if your God will come to your rescue. We'll see how much he delights in you. Lord, you delivered me safely from my mother's womb. You are the one who cared for me ever since I was a baby. Since the day I was born, I've been placed in your custody. You've cradled me throughout my days. I've trusted in you, and you've always been my God. So don't leave me now. Stay close to me, for trouble is all around me, and there's no one else to help me. I'm surrounded by many violent foes. Mighty forces of evil are swirling around me who want to break me to bits and destroy me. Curses pour from their mouths. They're like ravenous, roaring lions tearing their prey. Now I'm completely exhausted. I'm spent." Has anybody ever felt that way? Every joint, I hope you haven't felt this way. Every joint of my body, David recorded, Jesus was shouting out, has been pulled apart. My courage has vanished and my inward parts have melted away. I am so thirsty and parched, dry as a bone. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and now you've left me in the dust for dead. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Some wonder if crucifixion was even invented at the time of this recording, 600 years before Christ. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Like a pack of wild dogs, they tear at me, swirling around me with their hatred. They gather around me like lions to pin my hands and feet. All my bones stick out. Look at how they all gloat over me and stare. With a toss of the dice, they divide my clothes among themselves, gambling for my garments. Lord, my God, please don't stay far away, for you are my only might and strength. Won't you come quickly to my rescue? Who's prayed that prayer before? Won't you come quickly? Won't you come quickly, God? Jesus is praying this prayer in a sense as he's sitting there. He's taken all of us, all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our trauma on himself. And then the shift. You ready for the shift? And then the shift. It comes in verse 22. Psalm 22:22. Where is it? There it is. I will praise your name before all my brothers. As my people gather, I will praise you in their midst. Lovers of Yahweh, praise him. Let all the true seed of Jacob glorify him with your praises. Stand in awe of him, all you princely people, the offspring of Israel. For he has not despised my cries of deep despair. Now listen to this. He's my first responder to my sufferings. Are there any first responders in here? He's my first responder. He was the first one there. And it gets even better. And he didn't look the other way when I was in pain. He was there all the time. All the time. Every time. He was there. Listening to the songs of the afflicted. You're the reason for my praise. It comes from you and goes to you. I will keep my promise to praise you before all who fear you among the congregation of your people. I will invite the poor and broken, and they will come and eat until satisfied. Bring Yahweh praise and you will find him. Your hearts will overflow with life forever. From the four corners of the earth, the peoples of the world will remember and return to the Lord. Every nation. From Chapel Hill and here on out, every nation will come and worship him. His generation yet to be born will glorify him. And they will all declare in the Psalm 22. Check it out. What are they going to declare?
It is finished. Drop the mic.
Bam! It's done. Do you see the shift? Perhaps Jesus had this in mind. As he quoted Psalm 22 by recognizing this is the title. Here, guys, Psalm 22. It is finished. He was there all the time. My sanity, he was in the wilderness for 40 days in the desert like a madman. My friend's murder, his cousin John had his head chopped off. The marriage I had ended in the ultimate betrayal. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. Jesus is in your boat tonight. Don't you think Jesus can relate with all of those? I'll never forget. This is the last thing. I'll never forget sitting there one evening after that marriage had fallen apart and just feeling like so worthless and so distraught. And the Lord just gently said to my heart, he said, Matthew, you know that betrayal you feel right now? I said, yes, Lord. He said, that's exactly how I felt times a thousand when they nailed me to the cross. Will you share in my suffering? I said, well, if you say it to me that way, Lord. Through a lot of tears and snot. If you say it to me that way, Lord, of course I will share. You see, there's somebody sitting in here tonight. You need to hear this word. Amen. Because you haven't understood, but I'm telling you, Jesus was right there all along. Amen. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have pain. You will have heartache. You'll have difficulty. You're going to have loss. You're going to suffer things. But don't fear, because I've overcome all that. Amen. That's why that happened when they nailed him to the cross. He overcame it all. Will you accept that tonight? If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to come in and give you a new heart and be your Lord and Savior, will you do that tonight? Amen. Will you just ask him? Will you allow him to lift the trauma away? Amen. I'm not saying it'll happen in a minute. I'm not going to preach some gospel that says this is an instant thing. It could. It's happened for me both ways. It could come off in an instant. It may take a process, but I can tell you this, God won't fail you. He will not let you down. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Jesus, you are amazing. The sacrifice that you paid, the courage that you demonstrated to freely give your life and to walk to that cross on this fateful Friday. God, it's beyond compare. It's beyond measure. I thank you for each and every person here tonight. Thank you that you had them in mind when you did that. And Lord, we just invite you to come and change our hearts, to shift our lives, to lift the trauma, to lift the pain on this Good Friday. As tragic as the Friday is, it's Good Friday. Because the goodness of God will be seen in the land of the living. That's what your son David said, Lord. Amen. So I'm asking for your goodness to come upon us tonight. Yeah. If you've never received Jesus and you need him tonight, just lift your hand. Nobody's embarrassed here looking around. But I just want to invite you. Is that anybody here? Okay, a couple people in the back. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. And if you'd like to come and me to pray with you or anybody, any of the pastors to pray with you, we'd love to do that as we're getting ready to come to the communion table. It'd be a wonderful time. Isn't that awesome for your first meal to be the night you were born again or delivered free from trauma? Such goodness.